Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and to HighSpeedWeb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Well, if there's anybody who knows anything about what's going on in the nonprofit world, it's this lady who's sitting right across from me, Alice Williams Davis, who is a member of the York County Foundation, and she's here today to talk about something really neat that the foundation has been doing to jump on this effort to try to help out during COVID-19. Well, first of all, hi, Alice. How you doing?
Hey, good. Glad to see you.
You tired of the virus yet?
Yes, very. Nice to have a break from homeschooling.
I was going to say, how's that going at home?
It's different. It's different for sure, but nice to have a little break. I left them all with Dad, and they're done.
good. Well, you know, I had an item on Palmetto Mornings, I think it was this week, where somebody, I think the Wall Street Journal, had taken a study, a survey, of a lot of parents like you, and four out of five families, the parents, said, number one, they have a newfound appreciation for teachers, and number two, thought they all should get a raise. Would you agree?
Yes, and hopefully it will. My husband and I are both actually educators. I used to teach in Columbia a long time ago, and he was in education for 20 years. So we get it, you know, already on the inside. But it's good for everybody to see this. And, yes, they do need a raise and smaller class sizes. And hopefully everybody will see that as we move forward and we have some good come out of it. Because I sure miss our teachers, that's for sure.
You and your children as well,
yes,
I'm sure.
Yes.
So tell everybody a little bit about just the foundation for those who don't even know what the York County Foundation is.
Yeah, so the Community Foundation is a wonderful thing that we have in York County. It's an affiliate of the Foundation for Carolinas, which is out of Charlotte, but it is they have 13 affiliates around the Charlotte area, and then they have one in Charlotte. And so you've probably heard of the Mecklenburg Fund. That's straight through Foundation for the Carolinas, just like ours is through York County Community Foundation. So what we do is each year we raise money just through mainly we have an endowment, but we usually have past board members and some other people that are familiar with us that do give money each year. And we usually, but with our endowment of about $600,000, I think it's more than that now. I should have looked that number up. Sorry. But we have about $50,000 in grants that we give out each year. And that's really based on that endowment and based on a matching fund that Foundation for the Carolinas does with us. We have got about 85 or so funds in York County that are affiliated with the York County Community Foundation. So what that means is someone, a family or a foundation or somebody might put in money that they can then say, this is where I want to allocate money to through the foundation. But that money is then linked to York County Community Foundation. We don't have any say in where that money goes. They are advisors to their own fund.
That's
but
true.
It's nice for us just to come together in a community to be able to show that, you know, we are here to support, you know, different organizations around.
Well, over the years, you guys have supported a ton. We're not going to go through the list, but you've done a tremendous job in reaching out and helping the nonprofits, which are always looking for sources of funding to do the work that they do.
Yeah, and one of the things that's great about it is some people don't know where to give their money. And so they want to make an impact, but they don't know where. This is a way to do that. Like, you give money to the Community Foundation. We have a board, and we've got an excellent board across York County right now that then makes that decision. And so if you want to give $100, you don't know where to give it to, the Community Foundation represents so well to be able to know where that money is needed most in the county.
And for those who are not familiar, the Foundation for the Carolinas is a huge, huge fund. I mean, it's
billions.
Mm-hmm. And all they do is take dollars that are designated for charitable purposes, invest it so it grows, and then take the earnings off that investment and allocate it back out to, basically, it's a lifelong, it's more than a lifelong, it's many lifetimes long, source of funds for these nonprofits.
It is. And I mean, one of the things is planned giving, and that's a big piece of it. You know, if you want to leave, if you want to leave your money when you have a legacy after you die, and you don't necessarily know where it needs to be in 50 years, and you want to endow something, and you want to give to the children, you really like the school district, but you don't know, you know, is that still going to be around in 50 years? You can just say, I want to leave this funding, and the community foundation is then going to make that a priority. So they're going to always say, okay, this funder that left it wants to give it to children. So let's find the organization that best fits their wants and needs before they
die. Do you happen to have a list of your local board members there in front of you?
I do.
All right. Rattle those names off.
All right. Jason Ackerman, Lisa Amigo, Sean Barnes, Craig Craze, myself, Chuck Epps, Catherine Faircloth, Amy Hagner, Michelle Gussinger, Ryan Gill, Daylor Hart, Don Johnson, Kim Kill, Nikki Nash, Brandon Newton, Elizabeth Owen, Greer Sanderford, and Michael Schoenfeld.
That's great.
I hope I said those right.
That's a great cross-section. Good for you.
It is a great group of people.
All right, so we've laid the table. We put the rain course on the table. Tell us about what you have gone out and done to help out, particularly with this COVID-19.
Yeah. So there was a group of us that were having a conversation, a Zoom meeting, right at the very beginning of this. And several businesses were represented in that meeting. And, you know, we were talking about all the things that we have to focus on as a business right now, and really focusing on where to give money is not something that's easy for us to focus. And we're like, what if we had a fund, a relief fund that we could just donate to, and then a group of people were able to say, this is, you know, where we want the funding to go to, or where it's most needed. So we don't have to search out. I mean, we know Pathways is great, and we know Dorothy Day's Soup Kitchen's great. Right, but what else is going on in the community, and what do we not know about? And we wanted to make sure we were making the biggest difference. So that's when, as a board member of the Community Foundation, actually several board members were sitting in that meeting together, we said, let's reach out to the Foundation for the Carolinas and see what they can do to help us. And they jumped right on it. Cabarrus County was already doing the same kind of thing, and the staff up there jumped right on helping us get this set up. And we just had to have a minimum of $150,000 to get it started, because it needs to make that impact. Within about 5 days, we had $176,000 committed. So it was definitely something that other people really wanted to be a part of too. And this was without advertising. This was just asking around some organizations that we felt like might want to be a part of it.
And that's something. So when you say you reached out to the Foundation for the Carolinas, exactly what did they do? They set up the template for what you needed to establish?
Yeah, so they run our grant program each year anyway, and right. So this gave them, they already have a setup. They already have the folks that know how to get the grant application out there. They organize the money. The money all goes into that goes into them, so it's going into 501c3, right. And so the donation is very easy on the funder's part, and then they turn around and write the checks back out after they run the grants and sit down with the board and have a grant meeting about it, and then we say, okay, this is where we want funds to go.
So you raised all this money, $176,000, and basically you've turned right around and given it all back out. Is that what you're basically saying?
Yeah. And can I tell you who stepped up for this $176,000?
Please do.
We had a couple anonymous ones, but we also, my family was a part of it. Springs Close Foundation, and then personally, Daylor Hart and Francis Close, his mom, and his brother, Elliot Hart. The Craze family, I mentioned Craig Craze a little while ago as a board member. Springsteen Foundation and Springs Creative, you know, Derek Close, and Sean Barnes, Gill Insurance, Family Trust Federal Credit Union, and Rock Hill Coca-Cola Bottle Company all pitched in to make that $176,000 happen. And now we're looking to grow the fund, though, so we need to add more people to that list.
Good for you. All right, now you have put out a press release here that tells how these dollars are going to be used. I mean, so your group got together. And the group was the same people who are the local board members?
There was about half of the board members that are part of the grants.
And the other half came from where?
Oh, they were all board members. It's just all the board members weren't in the meeting.
I got you. Yeah. Okay. So you all sat down and said, okay, we've got this extra amount of dollars that we put together. Who do we go out and help out with this?
Yeah, so we actually had an invitation grant process. So we reached out to the nonprofits that any funders or any board members recommended us to reach out to. So we've got a really good group, like I said earlier, across York County. And so we felt like we could really get those organizations that are doing the most, because we wanted to give some big dollars to these organizations, not $1,000 here or there, but $5,000 and $10,000. And so we didn't want to be given to 100 different organizations. We wanted to be able to have a group of, you know, 10 to 15 or so. So they sent in their grants, and then we got the information from them. It was a very short, we didn't want to take time away from these organizations, very short grant. We were trying to make it easy, and we read them all, and then we sat around the table, and we tried to give out as much money as we could. So I think we were successful with that. We gave out $129,000 in this first round, and we really purposefully wanted to not spend all the money. We really were aiming for a little bit less, but we did $129,000 because we do want a round two. As the world changes and as things happen, unemployment rate is growing so much. These nonprofits are going to be really helping us continue in York County to make it happen over the next year or two.
All right. Why don't you tell the audience some of the places these dollars went to?
Okay. So a lot of this is, we really wanted to have the essential places that are really
right.
Food, shelter. A lot of nonprofits are fabulous, but we really wanted to focus on those. So we gave $5,000 to the Bethel Men's Warming Center. And we also did, the Haven Men's Shelter also got $5,000. So that was some of our shelters that we
right.
gave to. The Children's Attention Home, we did $10,000 for them. And those children are there all the time. They are not able to leave, just like, you know, we're not able to leave. And, you know, they're already having such problems as a child dealing with what they're dealing with, and now not to be able to leave. So we did $10,000 for them. Clover Area Assistance, food, $10,000. Dorothy Day Food Pantry, which was just announced,
yeah.
I think, yesterday that it was opening back up, and we had word that they were opening, so we did $5,000 for them. Fort Mill Church of God, who do food security in Fort Mill, $10,000. Habitat for Humanity, they're doing a financial program, which
sure.
is a really cool thing, and giving out grocery store gift cards, so $10,000 for them. Hope.
Yep.
Over in Rock Hills, giving out a lot of food, $10,000 for them, and they're actually buying a walk-in freezer cooler that they want to purchase so they can continue to give out more food. They can get the food, but they need someone to store it and to give out more. NAMI, mental health right now.
Sure, oh my gosh.
That scares me to death, and so we gave them $7,000 to continue their online program, reaching
sure.
out to people that need it.
Absolutely.
Path of York. Food security, $15,000. York, I mean, that they have a huge area to cover feeding these folks, so it's really important. Pathways, of course, a wonderful organization. They got $10,000. Pilgrims Inn here in Rock Hills, $5,000. The School District Foundation, Bat the Pack, as people well know, those bags go out to kids every Friday, and they're trying to do more protein, more extra stuff, and so they've also had a higher number of kids that need it, so $7,500 to them. The Community Cafe, food security, these are food trucks that are going out all around York County. I hadn't even heard of this program, and it is fabulous what they are doing. We gave them $10,000. They are feeding our community. They are
sure.
a wonderful organization. And then the Manna House Pantry, another food security, and for $10,000.
And if you have not seen this Manna House in operation, they're now located in the Pathways Complex. It is unbelievable.
Grace was telling me about it. I haven't seen it.
It has been operating for years over at Mount Prospect Baptist Church. And Wayne Wingate called us one day and said, you guys got to come over and see this. And out of that church, they had over 100 families coming in every week.
Wow.
They would sign in. They have all the paperwork on them. And then they had different rooms in the church where they would go to get bread. And over here they get meats. And over here they would get vegetables. I mean, boop, boop, boop. But the demand was so big they had to find another place to go to. Long story short, they're now down at Pathways. And they're up to, I think the last time I heard it, close to 150 families. They're serving every week.
It's amazing hearing the stories from all these different places and how many people are being fed. And they'll fill their shelves up on Tuesday, and by Thursday they are flat empty of food. So I'm not out there doing it, and all I can do is help support by helping raise money and get it to them so they can do that piece of it.
Well, to relate to this, I think we've all been watching the newscasts, and you can see these long lines of automobiles in these major cities, thousands of people waiting to go into a food pantry to get groceries because they're out of work. They've got no money. And when you don't have any money, it's tough to put food on the table. I mean, it's a sad story. And you're right.
A lot of the people are people that don't know how to be poor. They've gone from paycheck to paycheck and been fine and hadn't been, you know, hungry. And all of a sudden, they don't know. Reverend King, that's how he puts it. You know, he goes out there and he helps those folks that they don't know. They don't know how to be homeless. And a lot of folks are in that position now, and that's scary.
Well, this is wonderful. So you've already sent all these dollars out to all these different agencies?
I hope they've gotten the checks. They were supposed to be written, I think, this week earlier. So I think by the end of this week, early next week, they will have them, yes.
But
they all know about it, though.
But the idea is you want to keep this thing rolling because
yes.
It's going to be a while before we get this world back to normal, particularly after hearing the numbers that we heard today with the unemployment across the country. So how does one go about throwing some money into this thing?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways that you can donate. One is just mailing a check to Foundation for the Carolina March York County Relief Fund. You can also reach out to Foundation for the Carolinas, and they can do ACH to where you don't have to wait on the check, and it gets there sooner. You can go online to York County Community Foundation through. Make sure you don't get the Pennsylvania one now. They have one set up too. There's six York counties in the United States.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I'm sure.
But anyway, make sure you are on South Carolina, and you can give by credit card. Now there's a fee associated by that, but you can give by credit card. So there are several different ways, and the more money we can get, the more money we can get out there. And giving in these, any $25 helps any organizations, of course, but we can give everybody's $25 coming together as a big lump of $10,000.
Sure.
That makes a big difference to these organizations, and it helps them not have to go out and raise the money.
Exactly right.
They don't need to take their time doing that.
No, and remember, anything helps. You know, you don't have to write a check for $5,000. You could write a check for $50.
Yes.
It helps.
Yes.
Good idea.
Every dollar. Most of these places, I heard someone say the other day, I think it was the community cafe, maybe, they feed each meal cost a dollar. So for us to go out and buy food and donate food, it's not near as economical because they can get food a lot cheaper through Second Harvest and other places.
Yeah.
But a dollar is somewhere where they can feed a person.
I can't tell you how many shows I've done here with the Second Harvest Food Bank. It's absolutely amazing the work that they do. It's just... And these nonprofits, they buy food by the pound is how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting it for pennies on the dollars is what it boils down to. So great. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks, of course, to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right. We hang out here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Lots of people getting their sandwiches. You can't dine in, but you can take it right on out with you. The reason they keep coming back here is those magic white letters on that T-shirt that we're all going to say together at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
How's this for March Madness? As the world changes, so is our service to our friends at Substation 2. Effective immediately, whether you call in, fax, or order online at mysubstation2.com, we'll bring your order out to your car, or you can stay at home for home delivery. Isn't a great sub or salad from Substation 2 just what you need at a time like this?
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Our lives have changed tremendously lately. Founders Federal Credit Union wants you to know we are here for you. While our world right now may be uncertain, your money at Founders is not. Founders Federal Credit Union is fully backed by the NCUA, and Founders members have many ways to access their money at Founders. Our drive-thrus remain open, many with extended hours. Our ATMs are fully serviced. Founders Online and the Founders app are available to you 24/7. Relax. We are your credit union, and we are here for you. Not a member of Founders? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to apply for membership.
My concern is let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attacks, stroke. Those things are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nosaka
expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
People are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
How's this for March Madness? As the world changes, so is our service to our friends at Substation 2. Effective immediately, whether you call in, fax, or order online at mysubstation2.com, we'll bring your order out to your car, or you can stay at home for home delivery. Isn't a great sub or salad from Substation 2 just what you need at a time like this?
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Chair Road across from Winthrop. Alice Williams Davis is with us today. We've been talking about the York County Community Foundation and the special COVID-19 relief fund that is really blossoming in a very short period of time. A group of people have raised over $175,000. And they've doled out $126,000 of it to probably a dozen or more different agencies in grants from $5,000 to $10,000 or $15,000. All agencies that are out there trying to help people who are really got their backs against the wall during this pandemic that we're all living through.
We need more money to help it out more,
right,
though.
And once again, that website is what now? The York County?
York County Community Foundation. If you Google York County Community Foundation SC, you'll find it.
Yeah, make sure you put the SC on there.
Yes. Don't get Pennsylvania. No, I know they're doing good things, but we want to support our own community here.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Another project that you knew you couldn't escape being on the radio with me to talk about is Miracle Park. And it's, first of all, it's a miracle to see what that landscape really looks like when you take out all the shrubs and the grass has grown 10 feet tall. It's starting to take shape.
It really is. I had a little bit of time before here, and I haven't been out much, so I drove by there and took a few pictures, and the infrastructure is really coming along well, and from what I hear, Leitner Construction says that they're, everything's looking good, and they're still moving along, and infrastructure is getting a lot more smoothed out now. They got all the underground stuff in,
yeah.
And I don't know all the construction stuff. I'm not even going to try, but it's exciting that we're still moving forward. We've got $4 million that we've raised for it, and we are pushing forward with that $4 million. And our phase one might be a tiny bit, we might have to back off on a couple things, just depending upon, because we're not going to get out there and try to fundraise for it right now, because we need to feed our community.
Yeah.
We need to focus on stuff like
right.
this relief fund. But everything will come back, and we'll get back there. And
This project, what intrigued me the most about it, was a group of younger people like you and your brother and Warren Norman. I guess you were the three instigators of this thing.
We brought Sig Hewitt on real quick.
Sig Hewitt, well, okay. But you all had an association in one way or another with kids who have special needs. And so as we look at this sports mecca that we have here in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and we have got a sports mecca, you all obviously said, okay, what can we add to the sports mecca that will serve not only all these youngsters that are doing this stuff, but also those who've got special needs.
Yeah.
And somebody came up with the concept, well, I've seen about Miracle Field this and Miracle Field that, which are basically regular fields, but they have special, rubberized surfaces?
Yeah, okay. It's not even rubber. It's a different kind of, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's a great material. That.
Yeah. So if you fall, mm-hmm. you're not going to be scraping up your legs and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I don't know who takes the credit for it. Maybe all three or four of you do, but they said, "Why a miracle? Why just a miracle field? Why don't we make this a miracle park?"
Yeah.
And from there, this
we
thing blossomed.
Forward. It was really neat, and I think everything we've called it. Warren's used this word several times, but divine, and everything's just really fallen into place right. My brother has got a nephew on Pam's side of the family that is in a wheelchair, and so when he sees his boys out there playing with him and throwing the baseball with him, and just brings so much joy to him. And so he approached me and Warren, who both served on the Disabilities Foundation, both special ed majors a while back, but aren't teaching now, and he knew it was both of our passions, his best friend, his sister, and so he was like, hey, have y'all ever thought about doing something like this? And Warren had talked a decade ago about, let's we want to do something. We just really didn't put something around exactly what that would look like. And so we're like, yeah, let's start talking about it. And I remember we were sitting in Millstone, and we had John Geddes was still on city council at the time. He was there and a few other people, and we were talking about it, and everybody was like, yes, yes, let's make it happen. PRT was at the table. Yes, this is fabulous. So that private public partnership formed very quickly in the beginning, and Warren, as a developer, he knew that that one park, it had not been upgraded or anything. It needed to be upgraded. Yeah. So we started looking at that. It was a good location. We could put one field out there. But then Warren was like, you know, well, let's look at this property beside it. That's another 8 acres. Let's dream. And Warren just kept dreaming and saying, let's do this. Let's move forward. And he really pushed us into, hey, let's go all out. Let's make this a 15-acre park with 5 fields and retail space for opportunities for employment and golf element, fishing pond, like everything just started. We just kept adding all the stuff to it. And so we're dreaming big, and we're halfway there.
And you got, I know you took your idea to Winthrop University, mm-hmm. which had that, that piece of property you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And they immediately said, I mean, locally, they said, boy, this is great. Because we're not using it for anything, mm-hmm. but then you had to go through the you had to go through the hoops of getting the state of South Carolina to sign off on it. How easy was that?
That delayed us a little while, but again, divine is good because a lot of stuff happened while we had to wait on that. And I will say though, our legislator, Gary Simmer, was really, really big in helping us get through and helping us get to where we needed with stuff. I mean, he has just been wonderful in helping us with some of that part of it and other ones too. But while we were waiting on that though, is when we started thinking of how can we add some of these other elements. That's when we started talking about the golf and started talking about more about what the trails are going to look like. Got a little more detailed in shifting the playground. And so if we would have been able to move forward right when we wanted to, we wouldn't be as detailed as we are now. So I think it really worked out to have that time in there. And I can't believe myself 2 years ago would not like myself today saying that. But it was good that we had to wait. There's a real cool aspect in this called universal design. There's a Ryan Doherty. He lives in Rock Hill, and his daughter and my daughter are actually in school together. And so we started chatting with his wife. And anyway, long story short, he got involved, and he and his company have worked with another place and are helping to develop this concept of universal design. It's worldwide, but there's only about 13 of them in the world. There is not another park in the world. If we get the certification, we will be the first park in the world that will have this certification. There's several places, buildings. I know there's a YMCA that they worked on up north. Different areas that have gotten certifications, different levels of certification. And I'm going off the top of my head on some of those numbers. I might be off, and they're probably 6-month-old numbers too, but we are going to be the first park.
So when you say, I mean, so what does this mean, universal design? I mean, you're doing certain things in your park that are going to be totally unique and fall in this category?
Yeah, so buildings all have to be made for wheelchair accessibility, but they don't have to be made for colorblindness. They don't have to be made for mental disabilities that might be light reflection might hurt them, or someone that is deaf and needs different things. You need all kinds of heights of signs. You need lots of directional signs. What if someone can't read and the signs are on there? You need to have colors. So you have different colored sections that'll be in here. There'll be lines that lead you to the different sections based on the signage. Every little thing, just reflective stuff. You can't use certain materials because you don't want the reflectiveness to be there. The colors that you use can't be like red and blue or whatever's for colorblind. You got to really look at every aspect of it, and you got to meet about 75% of the criteria to get certification.
So all this is going to be rolling into the Miracle Park.
Yes. Project. Yes. That's what's going to really set us apart from any other Miracle League field or park across the United States.
Dallas Davis, thanks for all that you and your buddies do to help out everybody. Again, York County Community Foundation, your YCC Foundation SC, is that it? York County Community Foundation SC.
Yes, Google that. You'll find it.
All right. That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, we hang out here at Substation 2 5 days a week. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes. I don't care whether we have a virus or not. You can come in and get it and take it home. It's going to be delicious and be safe. Yeah. And the reason people keep coming in here is writing those letters, 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, 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 garden.
WRHI Rock Hill.
Good Pharmacy, Rock Hill's hometown pharmacy for over 50 years. Camden Avenue at Ebenezer Road.